the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. But first, heartfelt thanks to my EWTN colleagues for preparing the best of Vatican Insider while I was away on vacation. It's good to be back. This week, instead of an interview, I've prepared a special on Pope Leo's first magisterial document, his apostolic exhortation, Dilexite, I Have Loved You. And that was presented Thursday, October 9th in the Vatican. I quote from the document and from a summary provided by the Vatican. Dilexite is a beautiful and easy-to-read document, a call to Christ's disciples to recognize him in the poor and the suffering. But first, a summary of the week's top stories, briefer than usual, given the length of my special. Sunday, October 5th, addressing over 40,000 pilgrims in St. Peter's Square for the Mass of the Jubilee of Missions and Migrants, Pope Leo XIV, in his homily, encouraged the faithful to rekindle awareness of their missionary vocation that springs from a desire to bring the joy and consolation of the gospel to everyone, remembering those in difficulty, and in particular, our migrant brothers and sisters, so many of whom are forced to leave their loved ones behind, enduring nights of fear and loneliness, experiencing discrimination and violence firsthand. Later at the Angelus, Leo condemned both the immense suffering of Gazans and the rise of anti-Semitic hatred worldwide, and he expressed his hope that an Israel-Hamas peace deal will be finalized as soon as possible. Sunday evening, the Pope presided at Mass on the feast of St. Michael the Archangel, the patron saint of the Vatican Gendarmerie, and he invited members of the police force to live their mission as witnesses of peace. Monday, October 6th, Pope Leo XIV addressed the board of directors of the Knights of Columbus, thanking the fraternal organization for their charitable activity to support the work of the Holy Father, for their many charitable works around the world, as well as for their efforts to uphold the sanctity of human life in all of its stages. Also Monday, on the eve of the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Rosary, Pope Leo XIV celebrated Vespers at the Domus Australia in Rome, a spiritual home for Australian pilgrims. In his homily, he reflected on the role of the Virgin Mary in the context of the Jubilee year, which he described as a time marked by hope. Tuesday, October 7th, the Vatican announced that Pope Leo XIV's first international apostolic journey will take him to Turkey, November 27th to the 30th, on the occasion of the 1700th anniversary of the First Council of Nicaea. He will then go to Lebanon until December 2nd. The Vatican also released the Holy Father's message for the 40th World Youth Day, in which Pope Leo reminds young people that as Christians, they have a responsibility to stand alongside those who suffer and to become active artisans of peace. As is by now habitual, Pope Leo spent Monday night and Tuesday at Castel Gandolfo. As he left Tuesday to return to Rome, he spoke to reporters, noting Hamas's attack on Israel 2 years ago, saying, "These have been two very painful years. 2 years ago, 1,200 people were killed in a terrorist attack. We must think about how much hatred exists in the world and begin to ask ourselves what we can do. In 2 years, around 67,000 Palestinians have been killed. We must reduce hatred. We must rediscover the ability to dialogue and to seek peaceful solutions." On his return to Rome late Tuesday afternoon, Leo XIV greeted pilgrims from Croatia gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Jubilee, praising their Christian witness rooted in a received tradition that continues to be preserved today. Later, he had a separate meeting with over 100 leaders of Hispanic ministry from the United States, encouraging them to be witnesses of God's love and to accompany especially the poor and migrants. Wednesday, October 8th, At the general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo continued his catechesis on the Paschal mystery, noting how the great surprise of the resurrection was Christ's humility, where we might expect special effects, powerful signs, or overwhelming proof, he said, Jesus prefers the language of closeness, normality, a shared table. Thursday, October 9th, a busy day for the Pope. The main event Thursday was the presentation of his apostolic exhortation, Dilexite, I have loved you, building on a document by the same title that was started by Pope Francis before his death on Easter Monday. Also Thursday, Leo XIV celebrated Mass for the Jubilee of Consecrated Life, urging consecrated men and women religious to be truly poor, meek, hungry for holiness, merciful, and pure of heart. Later, addressing a global network of leading news agencies, Pope Leo thanked reporters who every day work to share the truth, often risking their lives, thanks to whom we have knowledge of the world. In a separate message of thanks, Pope Leo XIV encouraged leaders and volunteers of Catholic Charities USA to persevere in their work, pointing out they followed the gospel mandate to recognize Christ in the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and all those in need. Thursday afternoon, the Pope visited the headquarters of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, and he blessed a sculpture called the Tree of Human Dignity. Friday, October 10th, Pope Leo welcomed members of Aid to the Church in Need International as they gather in Rome during this Jubilee of Hope. He also addressed participants in the Jubilee for Consecrated Life. Well, those are the top stories, but now stay tuned for my special on Pope Leo's apostolic exhortation, Dilexite.
This is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. I know for a fact that we have brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, who are not even believers in Jesus, who listen to Catholic radio because they're looking for something that's going to edify their souls. They're searching for truth, and they're not finding it in sports radio or political talk radio. They're finding it with Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with a gospel message. EWTN is everywhere on social media platforms including Audible, iHeart, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and X. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to what is normally the interview segment of Vatican Insider. However, this week I offer a look at the just released first magisterial document of Pope Leo XIV, Dilexite, quoting some parts of the exhortation, as well as citing a Vatican synthesis of the document. 5 months and a day after his election to the papacy, Pope Leo XIV's much-awaited first apostolic exhortation was presented in the Holy See Press Office on Thursday, October 9th. Entitled Dilexite, it is a call to Christ's disciples to recognize him in the poor and the suffering. Pope Leo also wrote a brief handwritten letter in English to the Episcopal College, quote, Dear brother in Christ, it is with great joy that I write to you following a practice begun by Pope Francis more than 10 years ago, associating the entire Episcopal College at important moments of papal magisterium. May Dilexite help the Church to serve the poor and help bring the poor to Christ. Fraternally in Christ, Leo, Pope, 14. That letter was translated into Italian, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. Dilexite, I have loved you, is divided into 5 chapters and 121 paragraphs. Written in Italian and translated into French, English, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, and Arabic, it was signed by Pope Leo on October 4, Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the saint whose name was taken by his predecessor, Pope Francis. In paragraph 1, Leo writes, "I have loved you." The Lord speaks these words to a Christian community that, unlike some others, had no influence or resources and was treated instead with violence and contempt. Quote, "You have but little power. I will make them come and bow down before your feet." This text reminds us of the words of the Canticle of Mary. Quote, "He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Paragraph 2 says, quote, "This declaration of love, taken from the book of Revelation, reflects the inexhaustible mystery that Pope Francis reflected upon in the encyclical Dilexit Nos on the human and divine love of the heart of Jesus Christ. There, we saw how Jesus identified himself, quote, with the lowest ranks of society, and how, with his love poured out to the end, he confirms the dignity of every human being, especially when they are, quote, weak, scorned, or suffering. As we contemplate Christ's love, quote, we too are inspired to be more attentive to the sufferings and needs of others and confirmed in our efforts to share in his work of liberation as instruments for the spread of his love. For this reason, writes Leo in paragraph 3, in continuity with the encyclical Dilexit Nos, Pope Francis was preparing in the last months of his life an apostolic exhortation on the Church's care for the poor, to which he gave the title Dilexite, as if Christ speaks those words to each one of them, saying, quote, "You have but little power, yet I have loved you. I am happy to make this document my own," adding some reflections, "and to issue it at the beginning of my own pontificate, since I share the desire of my beloved predecessor that all Christians come to appreciate the close connection between Christ's love and his summons to care for the poor. I too consider it essential to insist on this path to holiness, for in this call to recognize him in the poor and the suffering, we see revealed the very heart of Christ, his deepest feelings and choices, which every saint seeks to imitate." Now, the Vatican provided a synthesis of Dilexite, which I quote here. Pope Leo XIV's first apostolic exhortation sees the love of Christ incarnated in love for the poor, in caring for the sick, opposing slavery, defending women who experience exclusion and violence, making education available to all, accompanying migrants, charitable giving, working for equality, and more. It reproposes the Church's social teaching, especially that of the past 150 years, as a veritable treasury of significant teachings concerning the poor. With this document, signed on October 4th, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, Pope Leo situates himself firmly on the path laid out by his predecessors, including St. John the 23rd, with his appeal in Mater e Magistra to wealthier countries not to remain indifferent to nations oppressed by hunger and extreme poverty. St. Paul VI added his own voice with Populorum Progressio and his appearance at the United Nations as an advocate of the poor, as did St. John Paul II, who consolidated the doctrinal foundations of the Church's, quote, preferential option for the poor. More recently, Benedict XVI, in Caritas in Veritate, offered a more markedly political take on the crises of the third millennium, while Francis made care for the poor and solidarity with the poor one of the key themes of his pontificate. Like Francis, who completed the work of Benedict XVI on the encyclical Lumen Fidei, Pope Leo took up the text of his immediate predecessor for his first major magisterial document. Dilexite builds on the teaching of Francis's final encyclical, Dilexi Nos, on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, highlighting the close connection between the love of God and love for the poor. In the poor, writes Pope Leo, God continues to speak to us. The Holy Father likewise recalls the theme of the Church's preferential option for the poor, an expression that arose in the context of Latin America. Pope Leo explains that this preference never indicates exclusivity or discrimination towards other groups, but instead emphasizes God's actions, which are moved by the compassion toward the poverty and weakness of all humanity. On the wounded faces of the poor, we see the suffering of the innocent, and therefore the suffering of Christ himself. Pope Leo's exhortation offers numerous points for reflection and calls for action in its analysis of the many faces of the poor and of poverty, including, quote, the poverty of those who lack material means of subsistence, or, quote, who are socially marginalized and lack the means to give voice to their dignity and abilities. Pope Leo also notes the existence of moral, spiritual, and cultural poverty, the poverty of those who have no rights, no space, no freedom. Confronted with this reality, Pope Leo says that although, quote, the commitment of the poor and to removing the social and structural causes of poverty has gained importance in recent decades, it remains insufficient. He warns of the emergence of new, sometimes more subtle and dangerous forms of poverty, and he decries economic rules that increase wealth for a few, but also increase inequality. I can only state once more that inequality is the root of social ills. The Vatican synthesis continues. The claim that the modern world has reduced poverty is made by measuring poverty with criteria from the past that do not correspond to present-day realities, writes Pope Leo. From this point of view, he welcomes the fact that the United Nations has made the eradication of poverty one of its millennium goals. However, he says, there is a long way to go, especially in an era in which the dictatorship of an economy that kills continues to prevail. The wealth of the few continues to grow exponentially, while the gap between rich and poor increases. And ideologies that defend the absolute autonomy of the marketplace and financial speculation remain widespread. All of this, Pope Leo writes, indicates the continued existence of a throwaway culture, sometimes well disguised, that tolerates with indifference that millions of people die of hunger or survive in conditions unfit for human beings. The Holy Father condemns pseudo-scientific data used to support the claim, quote, that a free market economy will automatically solve the problem of poverty, as well as the idea that, quote, we should opt for pastoral work with the so-called elite, since, rather than wasting time on the poor, it will be better to care for the rich, to gain their assistance in finding real-world solutions for poverty. Indeed, it frequently becomes clear that, in practice, human rights are not equal for all. Pope Leo thus calls for a change in mentality that can free us from the illusion of happiness derived from a comfortable life that pushes many people towards a vision of life centered on the accumulation of wealth and social success at all costs, even at the expense of others, and by taking advantage of unjust social ideals and political economic systems that favor the strongest. The dignity of every human person must be respected today, not tomorrow. Pope Leo also devotes ample space to the theme of migration, illustrating his words with the image of Alan Kurdi, the 3-year-old Syrian boy who in 2015 became a symbol of the European migrant crisis with the photo of his lifeless body on a beach. Quote, unfortunately, apart from some monetary outcry, similar events are becoming increasingly irrelevant and seen as marginal news items, the Pope observes. At the same time, he recalls the Church's centuries-old work in favor of those forced to abandon their lands, seen in refugee reception centers, border missions, and the efforts of Caritas Internationalis and other institutions. Quote, the Church, like a mother, accompanies those who are walking. Where the world sees threats, she sees children. Where walls are built, she builds bridges. She knows her proclamation of the gospel is credible only when it is translated into gestures of closeness and welcome. And she knows that in every rejected migrant, it is Christ himself who knocks at the door of the community. With regard to migration, the Pope adopts Francis's famous four verbs: welcome, protect, promote, and integrate. And he also borrows from his predecessor the description of the poor as, quote, not only objects of our compassion, but teachers of the gospel. Serving the poor is not a gesture to be made from above, but an encounter between equals, where Christ is revealed and adored. Therefore, when the church bends down to care for the poor, she assumes her highest posture. The Holy Father likewise considers the current situation, recalling the countless people who die every day due to lack of food and water. The Vatican Synthesis notes how Pope Leo XIV offers an in-depth reflection on the causes of poverty. The poor are not there by chance or by blind and cruel fate, nor, for most of them, is poverty a choice, he says. Yet there are those who still presume to make this claim, thus revealing their own blindness and cruelty. While recognizing that among the poor there are those who do not want to work, perhaps because their ancestors who worked all their lives died poor, the Pope highlights that there are so many others, men and women, who nonetheless work from dawn to dusk, perhaps collecting scraps or the like, even though they know that their hard work will only help them to scrape by but never really improve their lives. In one of the main points of De Laxitate, Pope Leo insists that it cannot be said, quote, that most of the poor are such because they do not deserve otherwise, as maintained by that specious view of meritocracy that only sees the successful as deserving. Sometimes, Pope Leo observes, Christians themselves allow themselves to succumb to attitudes shaped by secular ideologies or political and economic approaches that lead to gross generalizations and mistaken conclusions. There are those who say, quote, our task is to pray and teach sound doctrine. Separating this religious aspect from integral development, they even say it is the government's job to care for them, or that it would be better not to lift them out of their poverty, but simply to teach them to work. A symptom of this mentality, says the Vatican Synthesis of the papal document, is the fact that the exercise of charity is sometimes dismissed or ridiculed as if it were an obsession on the part of a few and not the burning heart of the Church's mission. The Holy Father dwells at length on almsgiving, which in our day is, quote, rarely practiced, and even at times disparaged. We Christians must not abandon almsgiving. It can be done in different ways, and surely more effectively, but it must continue to be done. It is always better at least to do something rather than nothing. Whatever form it may take, almsgiving will touch and soften our hardened hearts. It will not solve the problem of world poverty, yet it must be carried out with intelligence, diligence, and social responsibility. For our part, we need to give alms as a way of reaching out and touching the suffering flesh of the poor. Along the same lines, the Pope acknowledges that, quote, at times Christian movements or groups have arisen which show little or no interest in the common good of society, and, in particular, the protection and advancement of its most vulnerable and disadvantaged members. Again, quoting Francis, Pope Leo warns that, quote, if any church community does not cooperate in helping the poor to live with dignity and reaching out to everyone, it will risk breaking down, however much it may talk about social issues or criticize governments. It will easily drift into a spiritual worldliness camouflaged by religious practices, unproductive meetings, and empty talk. We have to state without mincing words, there is an inseparable bond between our faith and the poor. In contrast to this attitude of indifference, there is a world of saints, blesseds, and missionaries who, over the centuries, have embodied the image of a poor church for the poor, from Francis of Assisi and his gesture of embracing a leper to Mother Teresa, a universal icon of charity, dedicated to the most destitute in India who accompanied the dying with the tenderness of prayer. The Pope also recalls the witness of saints including Lawrence, Justin, Ambrose, and John Chrysostom, as well as St. Augustine, who stated, quote, Anyone who says they love God and has no compassion for the needy is lying. Pope Leo points at the work of the Camillians, Benedictines, Franciscans, Dominicans, Carmelites, and Augustinians, who initiated an evangelical revolution through a simple and poor lifestyle. He also cites the Trinitarians and Mercedarians. The tradition of these orders did not come to an end. On the contrary, it inspired new forms of action in the face of modern forms of slavery, human trafficking, forced labor, sexual exploitation, and various forms of dependency. Christian charity is liberating when it becomes incarnate. Looking to the example of St. Joseph Calasanz, who founded the first free public school in Europe, the Pope emphasizes the importance of educating the poor, which is not a favor but a duty. Children have a right to knowledge as a fundamental requirement for the recognition of human dignity. In the exhortation, the Pope also mentions the fight against the destructive effects of the empire of money by popular movements, by leaders often viewed with suspicion and even persecuted. In the final pages of the document, Leo XIV reminds every member of the people of God of their duty to make their voices heard, albeit in different ways, in order to point out and denounce such structural issues, even at the cost of appearing foolish or naive. Unjust structures need to be recognized and eradicated by the force of good, by changing mindsets, but also, with the help of science and technology, by developing effective policies for societal change. It is evident, Pope Leo says, that all of us must let ourselves be evangelized by the poor. No Christian can regard the poor simply as a societal problem, he says. Rather, they are part of our family. They are one of us. And so, he says, our relationship to the poor cannot be reduced to merely another ecclesial activity or function. The poor are at the heart of the church.
For more information on these stories or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.